You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Cosplay.
What about cosplay?
Cosplay saved my life.
Cosby saved your life.
Cosby saved my life. I was down and out. I was low.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby put me through Temple University on a scholarship.
And for that,
I'll never turn on him. Episode after episode, when I was jumping out saying, I need more evidence, and they're just trying to take another black man down.
Yeah.
I might have had some emotional obligation to Bill. Mm. I call him Bill. He's not Bill Cosby to me. He's just Billy.
Yeah.
And look, I'm sorry to everybody. As it turns out, he might have been guilty.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Now he's out. So maybe not.
He is out, I guess, on the technicality. I don't know. I never really looked into it, to be honest. So
you're going out on the road. So we're stacking content ahead of time. I don't know if this will end up as a main or a Patreon or what, but if we talk about current thing, we might, you know how it works. You look dusty in time.
Yes.
That being said, we are victims of the moment, right? Mm. It's not like, you know, If while you're on the road and this surrogate episode comes out, and you know, Trump walks out here and his testicles explode, you know, listen, you won't hear that. You won't hear our commentary on that necessarily. So look, I mean, what can we talk about? Did you texted me about the Killing of the Flower Moon trailer?
Yes. Have you watched it?
I did.
Can we stop the bullshit?
What?
And just admit that this man is our greatest living filmmaker.
He's our greatest living artist.
I know that. Listen, everybody, we're not going to buy in. But every time Scorsese has a fucking movie come out, every time somebody's got to pop out with some dumb bullshit. And do we take the bait and pretend that these people mean it or no?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they mean it or not. They're nothing compared to him. You know, I mean, in his 5'1" elderly Italian man presence, we are all just bugs of the soil.
That's right.
That's what we are to him. He's amazing. However, I will say, I remember, did you like the film Shutter Island?
It's the one that I, okay, so
it's kind of ass.
I illegally downloaded it and it didn't make any sense. And as it turns out, it's because somebody had vindictively edited it to make no sense. Which I thought was really funny.
That is, why would someone do such a thing?
I have no idea, but I was sitting there going, this is supposed to be kind of like a dream sort of thing, right? And the person with me is like, yeah, but this isn't the movie. I said, what do you mean? They said, this is all out of order. And I said, pirating, you got me again. This is like the time that I watched the entire Jodorowsky's Dune documentary without subtitles, thinking that it was a bold choice to have people talk for a full minute in their native tongue without any subtitles.
I saw Shutter Island, I think only once when it was in theaters, and I don't remember. I remember thinking it was pretty bad. Now maybe maybe I need to revisit it. That's possible. I haven't seen Silence. I know that one is kind of like people are lukewarm about.
People are lukewarm on that one because it is long and it is slow. And it is not, there's no gangsters in it. There's nothing that an American can even relate to. You know what I mean? There's English speaking characters in it, but it's really a faith story on the other side of the planet. So no, it's not going to work, you know, or it's not going to work for most people. I thought that it was, in some ways it might be his best looking movie.
Yeah.
But it is a hard watch. Well, that one, and this isn't a Scorsese film, but it's another film that I thought was really good that I cannot yet get through because it's just long. Is the movie called Duel? Not the fucking old movie, but the.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's Ben Affleck's boyfriend's name? What's that fucking guy?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
The Knight's Duel or whatever, that one.
It's a Knight's Tale starring Matt Damon.
I know what you're talking about. The Duel movie that came out like a year or two ago.
Yeah, I thought everything about it was really the last Duel.
That was Scorsese. Duel.
No, it's just that's Ridley Scott. I'm just pointing out that these movies are. Visually beautiful and compelling. They're just, people aren't ever going to like them because they're like long and slow.
I see. Yeah. I mean, when it has that kind of like 1970s pacing, people have a hard time with that in 2023. Watching an old 70s movie, I'm like, holy fuck. I think, what was it? I tried to watch the original Assault on Precinct 13, and it's not an easy watch. It's a good movie, but it's not easy.
You've got to be fully in. It is almost a pill in that it walks you through. The first part of the fucking thing is just basically a day in the 1970s. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's hey, should I shoot this child? No, I'm going to keep driving. I'll shoot the next child. You know, that's what it is.
Man, it's so. That's the thing. It's like, even though, you know, with Silence, I'm gonna watch it. I think probably this week. I'm sure it's tough to get through. But like, because he made it, like it can't be bad, you know. And that's why, right. I'm having this second guess of like, I really didn't like Shutter Island, but like, if it can't be bad, I got to give it another shot.
Yeah, it's possible. But I mean, things that, just because something's not bad doesn't mean you like it.
Yeah, that's fair. But I remember like being very annoyed with Shutter Island. I was too,
but I don't think it was fair of me.
Yeah, no, that was not fair. Yeah, I gotta give this one. Maybe I should do like in the way that I did Tarantino. Maybe I gotta, because like I've never seen Mean Streets. I've never seen The King of Comedy, which got shit on.
You've never seen. So Mean Streets is the one that you're going to immediately maybe not relate to because you're not a fucking street criminal, but you're going to see like the kind of Queens reality of it, and you're going to enjoy it.
That's cool. Oh, God, they're making a Gangs of New York television show.
Yeah, why not? No.
Yeah, don't do that.
So the only compelling argument I've heard for AI is that it could destabilize 50-person processes in a good way, meaning you could do your own Simpsons. Now, right. is that going to be good for most people? No, it's going to be trash. But it right now, everything that requires a ton of labor is corporate by nature, right? So
sure.
You can't. Animation, there's a stranglehold on animation because it's a very expensive process. This is the type of thing where maybe if you could get some auteurs in there, it'd be worthwhile. But this is how I feel about, to get your shit made, right? You have to go through a studio to get, or a studio buys it and you go out on a limb with some, like, you know, fucking Balkan dictator funding you up front. And I don't know that that's I don't know that that results in ultimately the best product. Like, I am starting to believe that anything good has snuck through, you know. It's people weren't looking.
Interesting. That's an interesting theory. So you're saying that having this work around a 50-person process will potentially result in better things?
So the democratization of art hasn't resulted in anything good. It's all fucking trash.
No, it's made it worse and more oversaturated.
But in principle, it giving us access to a single person's vision or a team of three guys. I want the Wright brothers.
Yeah, I want
the Wright brothers.
I see what you're saying. No, that's valid. I can see that. Yeah.
I have big news.
Oh, tell me.
Disney Plus is removing Willow, The Big Shot, Timmy Failure, Turner and Hooch, The Mysterious Benedict Society, and The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
See, this is what I mean about oversaturation. You didn't
know that five of those existed.
I didn't know that any of them existed except for Willow. And the five Willow fans are going to be really sad.
What about Big Shot, the college girls or high school girls basketball show starring John Stamos?
What's the real thing? Oh, I don't know what any of that is.
Take it off though?
Well, so that's kind of the question I had. I have a theory, but yeah, it's like, why, if they made it and they own the rights to it, why are taking it down is going to save the money? How?
Well, you got to figure there's two ways. Despite what the WGA says, you are paying some type of royalties on those at all times.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and there's also, I'm no less about this, but I also have to imagine that there's hosting costs, right? To have the amount of people, the amount of subscribers, you got to figure there's dedicated servers for these things.
Is that a significant expense though?
I mean, listen, no, it's data, but like let me speculate on it. If it's gigs and gigs worth of data that have to leave your server farm every day, I guess that would amount to something, right? In the same way that hosting costs money. That's just my speculation. It's probably got more to do with the residuals, but in truth, it's like everything has a cost. This is my only beef with strikers, with kind of we need the boss needs us, we don't need the boss sort of mentality is, I don't know. Do you have the billions? It's tough out here, you know. It's rough. So, here's the thing to speculate on. Did Willow bring a single person to the platform?
Maybe.
Would it be in a high enough number that you could justify paying the residuals on it? Like, for example, let's say it brought in 400 people, but yearly it costs far more than that to keep it available to people. Is that why would you do it? Just from are the people going to leave now? Well, they might have left anyway. They're not going to be rewatching Willow every 2 weeks. Unless they're wildly mentally ill.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that Willow remake appeals to, but Mad Mardigan. It's always confused me. I mean, I can remember back in 2018, 2019, when all these streaming services were announced because no one wanted to go through Netflix or Hulu, and they were all making their own thing. And I was just like, man, you're just bifurcating it in a way that it's like, so people to watch everything they want to watch, they're going to have eight fucking different streaming services that are all going to be $10 a month. It's all just going to amount to what cable is. It's just like, you've reinvented cable. But what they did was, instead of making it $10 a month, they made it $5 a month. And like, they're bleeding money on this shit. It's just, streaming is not profitable. It's not. And the, that fucking that guarantee of limitless growth is fucking horseshit. And it's like you have to keep pumping out content, which costs a lot of fucking money to make. And yes, you're not getting that return on the value. And it, it so it doesn't surprise me, you know. And I, yeah, I guess it must be. It must be some royalty thing that, but it's so ironic that it's like, we'll make our own thing where we can put all our stuff. That way we can avoid Netflix. Now it's like, yeah, oh, we actually can afford to put our own stuff on here. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, I, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a sort of human nature thing where it's like, we're doing what make, we're always do, we're only doing what makes sense in the moment. And yeah, whatever we see, whatever problems we foresee down the line is future Les Moonves's problem, you know?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, you know, it does. I mean, I guess what'll end up happening is like some of these streaming services will probably just, they're going to, I think, what isn't there a plan where they're going to fold Disney Plus and Hulu into one thing? And now the, you know, HBO Max is just Max now with the Discovery merger. You know, it's, you know, who I, you know, who's the real winner in all this stuff is the weirdo that collects everything, that like
Blu-ray guy.
My one of my best friends in the world, Brendan, like he collects. He is a collector, and like
yeah, we call him Blue Brendan.
And he just anything you could ever want to watch, he can whip it out and throw it in the DVD player. And it's like, you know, couple months ago I was trying to watch the fucking Super Mario Brothers movie and I couldn't find it fucking streaming anywhere. Bren's got the DVD, of course he does. And it's like, yo, that's the guy he owns his goddamn art. He doesn't fucking let these goddamn companies fucking rent it to you, well, you know, on a monthly.
This is a thing that I was so Stranger Things has a box set, right? But Stranger Things is a Netflix product that will presumably stay on Netflix for a long time. It's very popular. But somebody said, I don't want to risk it. You and said, I'm going to buy the shit on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Now, is that person right? Or are they deranged? Well, if you really like it that much, I guess the other thing to think about is, maybe there's always going to be a market for physical of things that people genuinely like.
Yeah.
Like with all their heart, they genuinely like it. So they want to display it in their home.
Well, it's also like things that on, I guess on a large scale, like if you think something like Star Wars, that's always going to be available no matter what. Like you're not, yeah, you might have to pay for a certain streaming service, but it's like, that's not ever going to be lost in the shuffle. You know, but there's plenty of things that will be. There's plenty of things that are. And that's where Blu-ray guy comes in, because he likes Star Wars, but he also likes Krull, Warrior of the Universe, the Star Wars knockoff that came out 5 years later. You know, that's not going to make it. But
what
Blu-ray
about the fact
guy,
you can't find Hard Boiled on, there's no John Woo films. Everybody. I'm really going through it. My brain is not working. I've got this fucking long COVID. It's me and Dave Navarro. There's no John Woo films on iMovie, Apple TV, TV Plus. The thing that I buy movies with. I don't know the fucking name of it.
Not
the
Amazon?
Apple Store.
Yeah.
God damn. Eric, what's going on with my brain, brother?
The long cove. You got it, man. Vaccine brain. I think the vaccine honestly ruined me.
It dulled us.
Dude, I can look at like things, like whether it's videos or photos of myself from when we lived, like 2021, like living here. And I was like, fuck, I look so much better. What the fuck happened? I'm like, vaccine. The vaccine.
If you cut my skull open or shot me in the head with a sniper rifle, like in Sniper Elite 4, my favorite game, just an orange Julius would spill out. nothing of value. There's no brain matter in here anymore. Maybe I got an amoeba.
That could be. Maybe you got one. Have you gone swimming recently?
I mean, I'm in my life. I, It's got to be an amoeba. There's something wrong with my brain. It's very frustrating, and I'm scared for the future. I'm glad that I suckered my girlfriend into like a lifetime of like, hey, it looks like you're going to be wiping my butt.
Yeah, how lucky are we that we got like loving, supporting girlfriends at like just at the beginning of our decline?
Yeah, it's pretty crucial.
It's so we're lucky. Yo, John Woo, that's fucking Hard Boiled is fucking sick. Why?
Yeah,
why
can't I wish I could. Him? I wish I could revisit it. However, iMovie says no.
John Woo. I'm looking at his looking at his Wikipedia right now. John Woo was born on September 22nd, 1946 in Guangzhou, China, amidst the Chinese Civil War. Yo. This is what it fucks me up. Hang on. Impoverished, the Wu family lived in the slums of Shek Kip Mai. His father was a teacher, though rendered unable to work by tuberculosis, and his mother was a manual laborer on construction sites. His mother, that's a girl boss. Mm. The family was rendered homeless by the Shek Kip Mai fire of 1953. Charitable donations from disaster relief efforts enabled the family to relocate. However, violent crime had by then become commonplace in Hong Kong housing projects. At age 30, he was diagnosed with a serious medical condition. It doesn't say. Following surgery on his spine, he was unable to walk correctly until he was 8. And as a result, his right leg is shorter than the left leg. Yo, I think I'm going to get into my like conservative guy.
Yo, yeah.
We got to toughen
up. This is the shit I was on the other day.
We got to toughen up as a culture, as a society, as people. Like,
yes.
Anyone. People should have to read shit like this and be like, yo, you think your life sucks? Guess what this fucking situation produced? A goddamn legendary film director.
Hold on. I'm going to show you for a counterbalance to that. I'm going to send you a tweet I just saw that just blew my fucking mind.
Yes. This is what I need. Oh, boy. What do we got here? What do we got? Should I read the tweet?
Yeah, read the tweet and then I'll describe the photo. I'll describe what's happening.
Okay, the tweet says, I'm not sure who took this picture, but this is one of my closest friends who just spent 11 hours.
Oh, actually, you know what, Eric, let me describe the photo so that we can do this in reverse.
Okay.
It's a man with a picket sign. We can't read the picket sign. It looks like, and he's crouched in what they used to call an Asian style squat. So he's in. That's still what it's called. I'm pretty sure everybody, whatever. Listen, I don't give a fuck about your race. There's a white guy with a beard, and he looks working class. He's wearing boots and he is, crouched in an Asian style squat with his hands or with his elbows on his knees and his head down, masked by a baseball cap. He looks like he's been on the picket line at Ford Motor in 1989.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks like he's been fighting for the ability to feed his child, and he might have to relocate back to his folks' house, or he might have to swallow his pride and go on welfare or some shit. That's what it looks like. It looks like it's not a very well composed photo, but it's a classic image in some ways. Now, could you tell me what it is in relation to?
I'm not sure who took this picture, but this is one of my closest friends who just spent 11 hours walking the picket line in Santa Clarita. It breaks my heart, but this is what hashtag WGA strong looks like. And this is why we will win.
So this is a fella who probably makes $180,000 a year writing 2 episodes of Barry. And don't get me wrong. I'm a writer. I deserve to be paid fairly. What I do is a skill, and there is no debate on that. I back the WGA's efforts at collective bargaining always, though that does not mean I necessarily agree with any individual action that they take. Now, this man's grandfather was shot in the fucking colon on the beaches of Guadalajara. You know, yeah. Like, it's different, everybody. Shit is different. Yes, Eric and I are pussies.
Yeah.
Positive pussy.
Mm-hmm. No question.
But I think that I could have been more. I think I could have been less of a pussy. I blame society is what's going on.
Well, it's just kind of overly dramatic. It's like, shut up, man. Come on. Also, where the fuck are they? There's more photos. Why are they out in the middle of fucking Santa Clarita striking what is their studio out there?
I don't know. They're going to keep me out of this for as long as possible because they know that I'm adapting Mein Kampf.
Oh, is that right? You're trying to get into the Writers Guild? Is that right?
No, but I should. So the thing that people in comics used to do, the smart ones, was they would go work in Hollywood, really shit jobs. Now, everybody kind of fucked it up the last few years by trying to have good jobs. But the guys that just did shit jobs in Hollywood, for example, Howard Chaykin. Here's a great example. Eric, Howard Chaykin is a pioneer and maybe one of the greatest craftsmen in modern comics. He doesn't get the same claim as Frank Miller, doesn't have the same volume of major works, but is a genius in the same way. He wrote for the show Renegade for years. So this is a brilliant man doing work that, by his own admission, was stupid beyond comparison. He said that it was. He said that it was for total idiots. This is the guy who wrote it. He did that because it provided his family a pension, which is shout out to the WGA. That is their major purpose for most people.
WGA has a pension?
Yeah, health insurance and a pension.
That's
they
crazy.
Secure, they secure it. They secure okay. it. That's the, but health insurance and a pension secured through the efforts of the WGA. So that's why people did it, right? And that's why people take some of these jobs. Like, you know, listen, everybody, not everybody's a fucking workaday dude and not everybody's a fucking loser. There's people that would like to be doing something more extreme, something more glorious, I guess you could say, but they got families and the family comes first. And if you're doing things right, I would hope that you see your family as your biggest achievement, right? Certainly my folks do. And so you take these bullshit jobs. Now, you know, is that what, I guess the problem is, if a man who holds the audience of the show that he wrote for 10 years in total contempt and thinks that they're idiots, if we replace that guy with an AI, because they're putting so I'm going to say something heretical here. I'm a writer. I want to get paid. Okay. First, let's get that out of the way. Now onto the heresy. How am I supposed to advocate for my position in life, my job? How am I supposed to do that when most people don't care if something rises above the level that an AI could do? Right? Like, I've been saying for years, hey, I make better X than the popular stuff. And people have looked me in my eye and said, who gives a shit, you fucking weasel? Right? Because that's the truth. Who cares if I'm doing something better than what gets sold? What gets sold is what gets sold because people want it, right? So if you're doing John Wick better than John Wick, but John Wick is destroying you, who do you have to blame? The answer is, well, everybody on the planet, and then ultimately yourself for saying, I know better than everybody on the planet. And what are we supposed to do when there's no reason AI can't write Renegade? Is that true?
I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, maybe it can.
I bet I bet we're 2 years away from being able to completely write a season of Renegade. Now, if it can write Renegade, and the people that watch Renegade don't care. Are we going to create jobs for the sake of job creation? Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And is that a good reason?
Well, look, I mean, think of it like this. The AI can like the way I've been thinking of it is union construction workers versus day laborers. You know, one can be utilized and complete the same tasks for a fraction of the cost, but you have a union that demands that has power and can throw its weight around, demands that you use their labor. I don't see why Writers Guild shouldn't be the same thing and say, sure, you can write a season of Renegade with AI in half, you know, in a fraction of the time, perhaps better than I can, but I have the power to say, fuck you, pay me, I'll write it. And I'm not saying that's necessarily good. I mean, yeah, when the singularity comes, it can provide us with limitless content that's better than anything any human could possibly dreamed up. But if people want to be out here staying paid as creatives, then they have to throw their weight around. That's just what it is.
Yes. But at some point you're advocating an impossible position because you're advocating solely for yourself. You can't make the argument that it's going to actually benefit the other side of the table because it doesn't, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess not. Yeah.
Because imagine sitting with somebody and saying, I want what I want because I'm good at what I do. And they go, yeah, no, that's cool, man. We really respect that. But we're not in the business. And I've had this conversation in my life. We're not in the business of good things. This has been said to me. We're not in the business of good things. Now, a friend of mine works at a record label, big record label. He said it the most concise and offensive way I've ever heard in my life. My job is not to put out good records. My job is to make my boss more money. Yo, let's think about it. Not from what I want in the world, but from what makes sense. Is there any reason that man, acting as a functionary of his rich boss, couldn't just get AI to write these fucking tracks? You know what I mean? And just get AI to draw a fucking, a girl with a nose ring as the artist, right? Is there a reason? Because it's not to make anything good. If you could sell it the same way, listen, that Drake The Weeknd track that was made by AI.
Yeah.
As good as any Drake The Weeknd track I ever heard.
Definitely. You know? And could have passed it off to me as a real one. That would have been like word.
100%. I'd say, all right, I guess I'll look, I'm sure Instagram will be a flutter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting sort of thing. I mean, it's the thing is like, what do you think about this? How about this? AI is in its current form, right? In May of 2023, from what I understand anyway, from how I've heard people much smarter than me talk about it. Remember who was the guy in the audience at our live show that was talking about it? It's
Bill Cosby,
right? Bill Cosby got up at our show and he explained AI to us it's predictive text. So it's sourcing.
Oh, Abe. Yeah. So Abe, yeah. My friend, Abe is like a 200 IQ motherfucker.
Same with the art shit is that it's like, it's piecing together things that other people made. Right. So really, it whatever it spits out, it's divining from either the written word or the artistic output of a human being. Now,
sure,
you could argue that when a human does that, it's also sourcing from its influences and such.
Yes,
that's perfectly true and valid. But there's something a little bit more literal about the sourcing in this case. You know what I mean? And there isn't any, because it is a computer program. Right. I wouldn't even necessarily call it it's not an artificial intelligence in the way that we think of, that as like, the fucking Terminator or some shit. It's like there's no soul. There's no artistic. There's no voice behind it.
Listen, there's no voice behind Renegade regardless.
But there could be. I mean, listen.
Yeah, there it's, could it, be.
If Zack Snyder did the new season of Renegade, we would if we you would watch it and go, oh yeah, that's Zack Snyder. But if the AI sourced, you know, like there was one, there was someone put out, it was like a movie trailer made entirely from AI, like the voiceover was written on was ChatGPT and all the imagery was with Midjourney or whatever. And but like if you watched it, you could ID that the imagery used in the trailer was like directly sourced from that fucking
the
Leo Great Gatsby movie. So that belongs to someone.
Which made me mad because people said, I recognize this. It's from Wolf of Wall Street. Get the fuck off my planet. Get the fuck off my planet.
It was from Gatsby, which I never saw.
Yes. Very quite obviously.
Yes.
But here's the thing, right? Yes. So that is the rudimentary mind of AI right now. So let's look at AI like it's a fucking 3-year-old. He can talk, but he can't form complex ideas and verbalize them. He's maturing at a very rapid pace. He will be able to do these things. And when we delude ourselves and think, oh, it can't draw hands, LOL. You think they're not going to solve that problem post haste? Of course they are.
Oh, yeah. No, they will. Listen, that I'm not in denial of that. But I think the fundamental quote unquote, I mean, it's not necessarily a problem. But the fundamental issue at the heart of it still remains, which is that it's still sourcing everything from something that a human made. So it's different to me. There's a stark difference. I don't know that you can necessarily pinpoint what that difference is. But to me, there's a major difference when a human being with a brain and creates something, right? And obviously divining from whatever influences it had in its life. There's a difference when a person does that and when a computer algorithm pulls directly from it, you know? Like, I just think there's a difference. And I'm not saying that's necessarily good or bad, and maybe the AI is better. Maybe the AI will be better than any future Scorsese's or Zack Snyder's to come, right? Maybe it will make something that's better and we don't need these motherfuckers anymore. But I think most people, well, actually, no, I shouldn't even say that. I mean, I don't know. It depends. I think on a person-to-person basis, if you like, they would say, yeah, I'd rather watch something that was made by a human. However, the teeming masses that line up for Disney World don't give a fuck.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, for example, what was the game? There was a game based on the Spider-Man game. You enjoyed it, right?
I didn't play the Miles Morales one. I played the one from like 2018. Yes, I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay. So there's no reason I shouldn't enjoy that. No reason. It's like right up my alley. I loved Spider-Man so much as a kid.
Sure.
But now I see every piece. Oh, there's a new Star Wars game. I see every piece of franchise media as just a revolting piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like just a stank, just an acrid turd. And the reason is I'm kind of privy to some of this shit. The people that are doing the thing don't care, right? Or if they care, it's in this like almost referential gross way that you wouldn't want them to care in. You know, like I basically, I have a problem, Eric.
Mm.
That problem, I guess you could call cynicism.
Nihilism, cynicism, yeah.
It's just that I don't believe anyone. Which is weird because I believe everyone. Like, I've been taken by some real fucking scams in my life because I just take everyone on face value. If they tell me, if you look me in the eye and tell me a thing, I believe you. And part of that is because I think it's the baseline level of human respect that I can give to someone is to not call them a liar to their face. The second reason is because it's intuitive to me that if I'm going to allow you close enough to my life that you're going to look me in the eye and say something to me, that you are saying it is a truthful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a result, I'm a fucking sucker, right? Yeah. But when it comes to like the idea of like a larger mass, I don't believe anyone to be actually in love with the thing they say they're in love with, to care about to have the priorities that they state they do. I just don't buy it. And so when I see franchise media that's like not somebody's original creation, they're just jobbing on it. I write for video games. I care about my work. It would be difficult to care about the actual thing as much as I care about my own things. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible, actually.
Sure. Yeah.
So
what you're saying is let the computers run the franchise
Renegade.
Media.
Gives a fuck. Yeah.
Let them write the franchise media bullshit pablum.
Honestly, right? It's just dumb shit.
Yes, I completely get what you're saying. The only issue is the labor issue, right? Where it's just like, yeah, I mean, I think the output is ultimately the same, whether ChatGPT writes the next fucking Star Wars movie or Kathleen Kennedy does. It's the same pablum horse shit. Who cares? It's made for kids, and I don't even think they like it.
Yeah, that's the major problem there.
Yeah, that's the fundamental problem. But you know, that just means someone's going to be out of work, and that's whack. And we don't want people to be out of work, right? We want studios to pay a person to do that for them and not use a computer algorithm. But you are right in the sense that at a certain point for the employer, it will that's going to be an inherent disadvantage to them, because yeah, a computer at a certain point will be able to write these things better than they will. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think that the singularity itself could make Star Wars interesting again? You know,
it'd be tough.
Fucking tough, man. And they wouldn't, you know what, it would be because there would still be a committee of fucking sycophant, fucking utter loser executives, you know, coaching the ChatGPT into, you know, like the prompt that they would give for that script would be so fucking, it would be long as shit, because it would be like, and it has to lead into the next movie, which is going to have, and they're going to be the Jedi, but really they're the dark Sith Lord who's been dead for a century. It's going to like, it's that I completely understand your cynicism and nihilism on the front of, franchise media, even what I once loved, something like Spider-Man, who was my dude too. Yeah, it's like it's everything's become so corporatized and like and soulless that it's like a Spider-Man movie. Like there's this new fucking animated one is coming out. I could give a fuck. You couldn't pay me to watch that dog shit. And I love Spider-Man. But like, yeah, it's done. It's so tired. It's so run into the fucking dirt. We've spent these fucking cultural figures. We've sucked them of anything they could possibly offer us, and they still pump out more horse shit. And it's like, yeah, it's very understandable to be spent on that shit. It's become McDonald's. It's the artistic version of McDonald's.
Yeah,
it doesn't deserve respect necessarily, and it sucks. Did you read that fucking interview with Scorsese?
I only the clip that everybody's putting out in the world.
It's heartbreaking. It's just.
But remember what we said about the mangaka who said, "No, please, God, let me work."
Yeah, that's Scorsese.
That's Scorsese. He says everybody who hasn't seen it, you haven't been on the internet. Everybody's doing their own little fucking version of it. Stupid. But which, by the way, this is what I think about all day now. All day, I think about how the fastest impact you can have on the world is a meme, and how fucking pathetic that is.
Yeah.
Right. I used to like memes. Now I look at a meme and I go, can you devote yourself to writing a fucking book, you fucking loser?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Nobody's doing anything of value. It takes an 80-year-old man to make a fucking movie now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, there
and
are
everybody.
Still,
well, no. Don't do your Bo is Afraid bullshit. I don't give a fuck about that fucking guy.
Movie sucked. I mean, there are guys doing shit like that. I.e. him.
Yeah, whoop-de-whoop.
Making
which,
bad
by the
things.
Way, if I got to see another Wes Anderson defender on my fucking timeline, I'm going to lose my mind. Stop. Yeah,
no,
stop it.
I swore off cute shit.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's doing these AI Wes Anderson shits. And, the Wes Anderson defenders are saying, you guys don't get it. You think it's just about center framing and cuteness. And
yes,
and, yes I do. Yes, I've seen his movies. Yes, I do. And it's like, yo, the reason that AI is able to do a version of him that we all immediately recognize as him, right? That's a problem. It's because it's always the same shit.
Yeah. Yes. What was his most recent one? I think I saw it. The French Dispatch. It was so Wes Anderson paint by numbers. It's like, wow, you didn't even challenge yourself remotely, did you? You just did your fucking thing that you've been doing forever.
Right.
It's painful.
Well, and here's the thing. If that's who he is, I mean, Woody Allen's made fucking... God, let's take a look at Woody Allen movies. How many Woody Allen movies do you think of?
He's still doing shit that only gets released in fucking Europe.
Yeah, no, he's... listen, again, everybody. Your grandfather, Woody Allen, survived the accusation that he molested his children. And you can't make a movie? Why can't you make a movie?
I just think it's funny that he's had a consistent output, but no one's entertained anything he's done in fucking 8 years now.
I really can't.
Longer, 10 years. The last one anyone fucking entertained was that Blue Jasmine movie, which sucked dog dick. I saw it. Mm-hmm. But he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's had 8 movies since, and one's in post-production right now. So 9 movies he's had that have been wholly ignored by the United States.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona, I remember. That one's got Penelope Cruz, Javier Bardem, and Scarlett Johansson, I remember.
It's a good cast.
That one I remember. God, he's worked with every brilliant actor that's ever lived.
Yes.
Scarlett Johansson's been in multiple Woody Allen movies. What's up, Scarlett?
Well,
four
wait.
Woody Allen movies? Holy shit.
Let's see. Okay, so the one that was after Blue Jasmine is Magic in the Moonlight. Now, this must have been filmed when it was still okay to be working with him, because... we got Colin Firth, Emma Stone, and Marcia Gay Harden. LOL.
There's nothing worse than the way that people peel off from you. When
oh, dude.
A little heat.
Oh, yeah.
Worse. It makes you look. It makes it, it's like maybe that's why I hate people.
Yeah. So that one. So I would presume both Colin. We could look it up, but Colin Firth and Emma Stone probably apologized for being in the movie. Then next one. Irrational Man. Never heard of it in my life. We got Joaquin Phoenix, Parker Posey, and Emma Stone. Okay. So this, I don't remember this one at all. And you have 3 A-listers right there.
Wait a second. We got to talk about this. Look at his film from 2003 with Jason Biggs called Anything Else.
Oh, I like vaguely remember that.
Not me.
With Jason Biggs. That's hilarious.
And look how it's marketed. Look at the poster. Describe it to people. What is it? What kind of film would you think this was?
Generic rom-com.
Yes. Put out by DreamWorks, directed by Woody Allen with Jason Biggs and Jimmy Fallon. Oh, my God. And now, here's the weirdest part. In 2009, Quentin Tarantino said it was one of his favorite, one of the best films since 1992.
What?
Yes.
Click
on those. Wow.
That's insane. How coked up was Quentin in that moment?
I mean, is he trolling?
I don't know. That's a weird thing. Maybe he saw it the night before and liked it more than he was expecting to. And he was like, no, it's really great. It's actually really, it was actually one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Have you listened to his podcast yet?
Yes. I like it a lot.
Do you? I've been hovering over the play button for like 2 weeks saying, I love Straw Dogs. Do I want to hear these two guys talk about Straw Dogs?
Well, so that's the problem that I have with it is that I haven't seen many of the movies that they talk about. And that's like, I've read, like, I have his most recent book that he put out, which is just like a bunch of film essays. And it's very good. And I like his style of writing. He's very funny. But it's like movies from the 70s with Steve McQueen about cars and shit. And I'm like, I had no fucking reference point for this. But it's actually his chapter on Taxi Driver is really interesting. Really, really interesting. He claims that Taxi Driver is The Searchers, but Scorsese didn't have the balls to go full racist. And that's why he made Harvey Keitel, the pimp character, a white pimp, even though there was no such thing as white pimps in the 70s. And that Scorsese caved to studio demands that they not make it like basically De Niro versus black people. And if he did that, it would have just been the movie The Searchers.
Yeah, so race is a funny thing because is your job to depict anything close to reality? Or is it to depict the exceptional, right? Because a white pimp would be exceptional, right? Like at that time, let's assume that a white pimp was a rarity. Certainly they existed in some capacity, but maybe not the sort of street pimp that the movie depicts. So what's your obligation? Is your obligation to create a fantasy world? Well, you technically are, right? Mm-hmm, so why not? But then is it believable? I don't know.
I think it depends on the type of film, but I'd say in general, you could say that you're creating a fantasy world that is recognizable enough to the viewer that it's relatable, right? So in principle, Taxi Driver is a fantasy movie. However, I never really thought about it like this, but I can understand it. But throwing in a white pimp takes you out of the reality of the film, I guess, that you say that, this is no longer recognizes something I can relate to because you threw in something that's too unrealistic, which is a white guy.
Yeah, I can't map this onto reality at all.
Yeah. But apparently Scorsese was like he wanted Keitel in the movie. And so like he took it as like, oh, this is perfect. Like I can just cast him as the pimp. And that Keitel went to New York looking for white pimps to like study for his role and could not find any.
Fuck.
Yeah. Really interesting book. Really. Tarantino's perspective is really, really quite funny.
Fuck, but people had a commitment to their craft. Everybody, yes. this is like the old folks fucking podcast.
The old two old guys. Whoa, there's a Woody Allen movie from 2017 that stars Justin Timberlake.
You know what?
What?
Don't apologize, Justin.
Whoa. Oh, and Jim Belushi's in it.
I'm going to write a little bit about this.
Kate Winslet.
People that read my newsletter can just suck on this twice. There was a woman who a French actress who just quit acting. She says because the French film industry did not respond to Me Too in any meaningful way, and she doesn't want to be part of that industry anymore. Now, everybody, that's her prerogative. Mm-hmm. But this happened, I guess, in response to – oh, no, pardon me. It wasn't in response to this. This is what I read that she stormed out when Polanski – won some French bullshit, right? This was a number of years ago. Now, can I offer an idea here? What is the purpose of an award show? Now, it's to make money. I understand that. It's to self-congratulate. I understand that too. But is there any aspect of it that is this is the best of a thing? Like even if it's the United States, so let's look at the United States. What is the United States in principle versus what are the United States in practice. The principle of the United States, quite a beautiful thing, I would argue, right? Mm. Now, the practice, perhaps not. Mm. But an award show in principle is, hey, we want to honor the best. Now, everybody, I'm not having a conversation about merit. I understand. Blah, 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 blah. It's all fake. I get it. Okay, sure. But if you lose to Roman Polanski, you should take it that there's these things are real. Oh, this award is real because it went to the best instead of the guy that we're scared. Like,
right, right, right.
That's a real, like, look, everybody. I think there's like, let's see how many Roman Polanski movies I actually like. Point is,
only one I can name is Chinatown.
Polanski, Frantic is good. I think that's him. Watched it the other night.
Oh, The Pianist, right? He won the Oscar for that one, I think.
So here's the thing, everybody. What is, do you want to go up against the best of things, or do you want to be in a fixed race where they took out the person who is clearly superior, but isn't cool anymore? And when I say isn't cool anymore, he raped a 14-year-old, everybody. I get it. You know what I mean? I'm being a little dramatic here, but the
greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Do we who do you want to be up against? Is my point.
Well,
the best.
Yeah,
I want to be against the best.
Mm. Then you're gonna lose.
Maybe, but then I'd feel like it was an honest. Is an honest loss better than a dishonest win?
Now we're getting to something. An honest loss better than a dishonest win. I mean, I would say the honest loss would be better. It would be more honest, right? And that's how you should want to live your life. That's a good virtue, but winning's pretty cool.
Winning's cool. You can't take it seriously. You put your fucking awards in the bathroom at that point.
I've not.
It's just chew on it, everybody.
Yeah, chew on it. I've seen Chinatown, and that is it as far as Polanski goes.
You should watch Death and the Maiden, which is kind of like a thriller. And then you should.
Oh, I've seen Rosemary's Baby.
Sure. But you should also watch Frantic.
Yeah.
And then realize that the attractive woman in that movie went on to marry Polanski.
The 14-year-old?
No. This is although this woman was significantly younger, she was definitely legal. But it's kind of mind blowing when you look at Polanski and then look at this woman. They might still be married, honestly. Hold on, let's take a look. We talked about this on a podcast, I'm certain of it, because it blew my mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Pianist is interesting because that I'm pretty sure won some Academy Awards. I know it was at least nominated, and that was in 2002 or 2003. And it's that was well after Roman Polanski's heinous transgressions, and the industry recognized him. But I think they didn't recognize him for a while. And then for whatever reason, they were like, damn, this movie's so good that we have to.
They're like, damn, I guess we actually have to respect things that are great regardless. Damn, actually, a foul man's contribution to this world can be something beautiful. Oh, shit. How are we going to explain that to Twitter? Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's not invented yet. No. Mm.
If you look up Emmanuel Singer, who married Polanski, all of the photos, because the French are so fucking keen on aging, all of the photos are from the current moment where she's a 60-year-old woman, still, you know, an attractive 60-year-old woman, but it does not demonstrate at all her looks when she was younger. Hold on. Here's who Polanski married at the time that she would have married him. I'm going to send you this. This would be Polanski at the time that that this woman married him was a drug, in the words of Adam Sandler, a dried up stinky dick licker. And this is, so let's see, he's 89, she is 56. So the photo I just sent you, what's your impression?
You said she's 56?
Not in that photo, goddammit. Keep up. She's 56 now, but he's 89. What's that age difference?
Pretty significant, I'd say.
Now, listen, it's 33 year age difference. Now, I don't give a shit, everybody. I don't care. She was an adult when they got married. It's got nothing to do with me. But it's to point out that they are still together. She is, depending on your mileage, a beautiful woman. And it's just to say that good girls like bad boys.
That's where we arrive.
Where I arrived. That's all it. Right. That's all there is to this.
What do you think it's like to be a guy, like one of these people that have been like completely disgraced, whether it's Woody Allen or Polanski, not in the sense of like their crimes, but like, let's say you are at the top of your craft, you're recognized by your peers in the industry, you win awards, et cetera, et cetera. And then you're completely disgraced. You're cast into the shadows, and these guys just keep doing what they do, right? With no recognition whatsoever. I mean, perhaps in the insular way and on a much small scale, much smaller scale, you know, probably local to where they live, probably in Europe. But they just keep doing it. Like Polanski put out a movie in 2019. He's got one coming out this year. He just keeps going. You know that no one's going to talk about it. You know, you know, you're not going to receive the fanfare. I guess they make money, right? Like I don't know.
I couldn't say.
I couldn't say. Oh, wait, this new one has John Cleese, Mickey Rourke in it. John Cleese don't give a fuck. Mickey Rourke. Maybe these are actors that are like, I can't get work anywhere else. I guess I'll go.
John Cleese can't anymore. John Cleese was too real.
John Cleese. What did he do?
You know why he's done?
No. What did he do? I didn't know he was done. He's done.
He's done because he said, "Oh come on, J.K. Rowling's not that bad."
Is that right? I didn't even know that.
Yep.
Huh. Well, my point is that like it's a little inspiring to see people continue. Like if I was blackballed from producing, which I might be because I can't get anyone to respond to my emails. if I was blackballed, I'd be like, well, I guess it's construction or bartending for me now. These guys just keep doing it.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. The guy from Jeepers Creepers. Come on.
I forgot about the Jeepers Creepers guy. It's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, respect it, you know, it's respect to Roman Polanski didn't turn to a life of full-time construction. So, but we do have to pour one out for Disney World's immersive Star Wars hotel will shut down in September.
Is that true? The one that was charging like $200 for a blue drink?
Yeah. They're cutting costs. Bob Iger's hacking heads. It's funny when a guy like Bob Iger left the company in 2019, probably because he got noticed that COVID was coming, right? The world powers, you know, they let all the, you know, Disney was in on the pandemic and everything. So they got together and he quit. He gets out of Disney and then a new guy comes in. It all goes to shit. Now they bring back Bob Iger.
I forget what it was. I watched the whole thing. I don't give a shit about this Disney shit, really. Like, so I never keep up with it in the way that I should. But my there was a whole thing about why he came back. It was like, it was very Succession, like very, very Succession, where they basically set a dude up to fail and then said, return of the king. You know what I mean? That type of shit.
That happens a lot in WWF, WWE, where Vince will like, they'll be like, man, the show's ratings not so good. We got to get some new blood in here. And Vince will hire someone from 30 years ago to put him in charge of a show. And when the show doesn't pick up ratings, he fires him and goes, see, we fixed it.
Yeah. What's going on with what's the coolest thing you've crafted in Tears of the Kingdom?
Oh man. I guess I made like a raft with a little fan on it.
Not that cool.
I was talking about it with Georgie actually. It's like the game just makes you wish you were playing the game before it that didn't have all the annoying craftiness in it. Like I like puzzles. Like give me a puzzle, but also like give me a sword so I can fuck up some goblins. Like, come on. Like, don't you're forcing.
Do you have to craft all the time, or can you just hack and slash?
Well, so I'm still in the like very early part of the game. I think after I get past a certain threshold, I will be able to just do whatever I want. But I'm still on this, like, you know, like at the beginning of a game where it's kind of holding your hand a little bit, taking you through, like, before you get sort of set up. I'm just trying to get through that, but it's like, yo, I've made this stupid raft with a fan like four times. Can you just give me a sword so I can kill enemies, please? I'm like sick of these puzzles.
Get yourself fucking Sniper Elite 4 now.
I've played that shit.
Do it. You've never played it.
I've played it.
You've never played it. You never played 4. You wouldn't talk to me like this if you played 4.
I played Sniper Elite 3.
Okay, 4.
How many times are they going to make a game where you can shoot Hitler in the nuts?
As many times as people keep buying it, and I'm out there every time.
Someone was big mad. Oh, I think it was at a game developer on Twitter. They were like, I think maybe it was the guy, maybe it was like the director of like Wolfenstein or something. And he did you see this? He was complaining about something, and someone tweeted him, and it was just like, this is the guy who made Hitler one of the characters in his video game. And it's like, yeah, he was the boss who you kill.
Yeah. So John,
you're
Carmack,
mad about
I think you're talking about John Carmack appearing at BasedCon.
BasedCon. What is that?
BasedCon is like, I guess everybody, I don't know if you're hyper based, don't get mad at me. it's like a convention with the, a bunch of people talking about how COVID is real. There's two genders, and
they'd be talking about COVID is fake, right?
No, COVID is fake. The vaccine, COVID is fake. The vaccine is fake. Gender is real. There's an actual list. Hold on, I'll look it up right now. There's like. Hold on, everybody. You don't know what we're talking about. And so the problem is that Eric and I do an internet show, but we're not that internet. You know what I mean?
No.
Like I learn all sorts of shit, like about like trans communists and shit by watching these YouTubers. And I'm like, where did you find this person? How did you have access to these ideas? I don't know. Okay, so wait, John Carmack might have left BasedCon. Hold on. I'm not. Okay, so Carmack might have left. He says that he's not. He is not a culture warrior. He just likes hard science fiction stories with a libertarian vibe. That's why he was going to do the convention. These people are such babies, because he's like, hey, everybody, I didn't agree to this for politics. I just like this is just like kind of my interest. And people are like, actually, when someone gives you a clear signal about who they are, you should believe them. Not willfully.
Shut up. Shut up,
you baby. Why don't you give me a conversation about accountability next, you fucking baby?
Yeah, I believe you suck based on you saying that bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? You've clearly signaled you're a fucking loser.
Yeah, I believe that you're an absolute turd. Can we do a live show at BasedCon? Where is it held?
Man, I don't hold on. So is it really just that like these it's writers who have like a bit of a like a libertarian or you know, people are so weird, man. Everybody, for the sake of this podcast, just call me a libertarian. I'm not, but just call me one, because I don't understand how we make these things into villain shit. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just God, people are weird. It's 239 days for all 3 days of the con.
I'm pretty fine with the libertarian
tag. You're all right with it?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Well, because it's like, man, if you can't recognize that both what else would you call yourself? You know, lib? Well, that has some like stinky connotations at this point, right?
I mean,
leftist? That's like that's also a joke.
That's a joke. I mean, I'm probably like literally, I'm probably on like the minarchist sort of range of thought, I guess.
That's something from Zelda.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's minarchist. Shit. Exactly. So that's why, like, like I say, I'm apolitical, everybody. I don't even know what's going on. But here's why it's BasedCon. Some based beliefs include, this is from the BasedCon page. men cannot give birth. Okay. Well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. A fetus is a human being. Socialism has failed everywhere it has been tried. Discrimination against white people is racism. Okay. You know what's crazy? So this is obviously manipulative, because it's saying here's some based beliefs. But then it says things that are like pretty much objectively true, right? Like the guns don't kill people, people kill people argument. I mean, this is just a convenient.
I mean, people kill people with guns.
Yeah, with guns, sure. But
it's like, what?
But a gun. I mean, and people do accidentally kill themselves, but you still require a person. Somebody's got to pull a trigger, I guess, unless you dropped infinite pistols off of a building. I guess some of them would go off and maybe kill someone, you know? So, yeah. So a fetus is a human being. Objective fact. You can say it's not a person. You know what I mean? That's what I mean by this is manipulative.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah. Well.
So, by definition, a fetus is a human being.
Well, what could I say? A fetus will become a human being?
No, because it can't be, because it's not going to become anything else.
You know, yeah, but in the present moment, if it's merely a clump of cells, cellular material, that's
yeah. But that's human being. But that argument doesn't work, because you're just a mass of cells. It's the mass of cells is coded to be a human being.
How dare
so,
you?
So here's what I'm saying. You can, everybody, when you're having a conversation or an argument about abortion, the argument is personhood. It's not status of a human being.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, I get it. So be very autistic about it. Yeah.
But that's what my point here is, that this is all languaged in such a way that it's languaged in such a way that it's inarguable stuff.
Right.
So it's trying to say being based is just being realistic. It's just being an honest person.
Well, then it gets like sneaky ones in there.
Right.
It's manipulating in the sense of like, this is an objective fact, which means this next one is also an objective fact.
It's like I always say, is there a difference? There's a difference between accurate and true, right?
Right.
So this would be examples of things that are accurate, but are they true in the way that we understand them? Like understand the word, like, you know, it's a conversation. Like these things are a conversation. Like men cannot give birth is probably the trickiest one, because that one would. I guess.
We're not getting into it.
Yeah, we're not getting into it. That's the trickiest one in terms of conversation.
Yeah.
But the others are just like true things that may not account for the totality of what's being discussed.
Right. Yeah. So what? So we're not based enough for BaseCon? Probably not.
Probably. I think we're capable of having a nuanced conversation, so probably not.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't the most base thing to do would be to attend BaseCon under the guise of being based, and then you get there and you're like, trans liberation forever, and that you have
somebody's doing that.
Yeah. Right. That would be that. Yeah. But you'd probably get kicked out. Everyone's so uptight.
So uptight.
Because like the attitude would be like, if someone did that at BaseCon, you just go, all right.
Yeah.
You know,
all right.
And like, all right, you got us, you know, but they'd get weird about it.
Yeah. You don't gotta be mean either.
No, you don't. You know
what? My big thing with when I see protesters, I'm always like, my first thought is always, why are we being so mean? Like when people like, it's always like, this doesn't convince me of shit. In either direction, you know what I mean? Like the meanness convinces me of nothing.
No, the meanness often just makes you look bad. Yeah, whoever's being the mean one, it kind of just makes you look like the jerk.
Yeah,
you know, you win more. What is it? You win more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. Mm. That's what my mom would say. I don't know. What do you think? You think we gave listeners that's a good episode. That's a quality.
They entered
one.
The dorm room. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Everybody, you understand. Worst possible time. What is it? Patreon.com/worst possible timeline.
Everybody, the bone saw line is still funny. I don't give a fuck.
Bone saw line? What's that?
From Spider-Man.
From Spider-Man?
Where he says, it's a nice costume. Did your boyfriend buy it for you? Still works. Shut the fuck up.
Bone saws ready. That's a great.
Bone saws ready.
Macho Man Randy Savage, rest in peace. Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. Twitter WP timeline. You know we're out there. You know how to find us. Get at us. Patreon is popping. We need it to pop more. You got to get in there. You got to get on these bonus episodes.
Eric is unemployed. We should have an unemployed.
No, don't Patreon. Make me sound desperate. Don't do that.
Okay.
Everybody, we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.